Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And so my bottom line is, what we thought, what we envisioned. Well, by now in my profession, I should be here, or over there, I should have that, or I thought this would fulfill my dreams. And we have all these expectations that may be fine and noble and beautiful, but somehow it doesn't all work out. Or sometimes we reach those pinnacles we've been climbing a long time. When we get up there, it doesn't give us that wonderful hill feeling that, boy, I've really arrived. We seem never to arrive in this life. Have you noticed that? We get on Mount Nebo, and the dream and the reality, different.
The truth is, God is there for you when your dreams are shattered. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins a message called Mountain of Unfulfillment and looks at how Moses was specially prepared by God to serve and how you might be too. So stay with us. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young begins in just a moment. Before we get to today's message, we want to put a special resource in your hands to help you make God's Word part of your daily routine this year. The one-year chronological Bible is designed to help you read through the entire Bible in less than 15 minutes a day. We'll send you the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy when you give 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for your help reaching more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. Now you can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Mountain of Unfulfillment.
Most of us have bucket lists, maybe not consciously written down, but subconsciously. You know, I'd like to go there. I'd like to have that experience. And we have all these things that we dream about, that we plan to do or want to see take place in our lives. Bucket lists. In 1926, a most unusual auction took place in Washington, D.C. The patent office, the U.S. Patent Office, took over 150,000 patents, workable models of things people had invented, and they were auctioning them off. In those days, if you're going to get a patent, you have to have an example, an illustration of that which you want to patent, and they accumulated so many of them, they had to sell them. It was quite an auction. I mean, a lot of people came. 150,000 different workable things. They had a cat that would be illuminated, would blink on and off, that would drive all the rats away. They had an automatic bed bug pincher. They had an apparatus there you could put on your head with a little microphone type thing, and when you would snore, you'd wake yourself up. They had in there an adjustable pulpit. In those days, the pastor would actually stand in the pulpit. You could adjust it for tall and short pastors. And the auctioneer said, once a pastor was speaking on where will you spend eternity, and he hit the wrong button and down he went. And so it was quite an auction. A lot of laughs, a lot of humor, people buying things, bidding on things. But one man was there, and he looked at all of those different items, and he wrote a book entitled Shattered Dreams of a Century. shattered dreams of a century because he saw behind every little workable model somebody who had been creative enough and adventuresome enough and gave enough time to put that together, thinking that this would be my road to becoming a millionaire. This would be my road to fame. This particular thing would make a tremendous difference and be really a popular thing on the market. Shattered dreams of a century. A bucket list, things we want to do, things we want to accomplish. And I thought about that, and I thought about our guy Moses. Now, if you name the three most important people in the Bible, of course, excluding the Son of God, it would probably be Abraham, Moses, and Paul. Now, you can debate that, honestly so, but that's the general feeling. Those are the big three. And so it was Moses who had the dream, and God prepared him and built in him the purpose of your life is to take all these Jews out of slavery. They've been in Egypt for hundreds of years and bring them into the promised land that God had sent a deed to them to own and possess, the land flowing with milk and honey. That was his life purpose. And I call Moses the 40-40-40 guy. 40 years, you know the story if you've ever been to a Bible study class. Firstborn, the Jewish males were being killed. They were thrown in the Nile, and Miriam, Moses' sister, took him and put him in a little cradle, a little ark, and flowed him down the Nile River, and the daughter of Pharaoh, who perhaps wanted children, couldn't have them, saw the little Jewish baby and took the baby out of the river and brought Moses up as her own son. Therefore, he was brought up as a prince of Egypt, a prince of Egypt. So the first 40 years of his life, he got the best education anybody could have. He was trained in military understanding of the world. He was a somebody for 40 years. Now the second 40 years of his life, he was a nobody. You remember what happened. He watched his own people. He knew he had Jewish lineage. He watched an Egyptian exploiting a Hebrew, and he interceded and killed the Egyptian. And he buried him in the sand. Thought he'd got away with it. He buried him. But Young's translation says the wind was blowing and the dead Egyptian's toes stuck up. So they caught him and he became a fugitive so he could live. And see, he left Egypt and went out into Midian. And to get to Midian, by the way, you've got to go through Sinai. It adjoins Sinai there. And he's at the backside of nowhere. Now he has 40 years. He's a nobody. He's a shepherd, sheep, goats, unknown, working in this desert, wilderness-type land. 40 years, a nobody. 40 years, somebody. 40 years, nobody. And then you know about the burning bush. Man, God spoke to him through that burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and lead my people into freedom and into the promised land. And Moses said, I can't do it because I stutter, remember? And God says, I'm going to work through that handicap. You've got your brother Aaron. He'll take care of the big speeches. You're God's man to go back and lead your people who are slaves into freedom. So you know the story, the staff, the miracles, and he struck the sea and the people went over into the wilderness, prepared, got the commandments, went over there, and they were supposed to go in the land, but their lack of faith. They had the fact that God had given the land. They didn't have enough faith to follow through on the facts. So therefore, they never at that moment had the wonderful feeling of being in the will and the purpose of God. And so Moses, for 40 years, led over 1 million people in one of the toughest terrains you could ever imagine. I've been there. I mean, they're just miles of rock and nothingness. Freezing at night, burning up during the day. God used Moses. A wonderful, wonderful story until finally, after a whole generation had died, generation who did not believe, who did not follow, there's a new generation, and Moses is ready to lead them across Jordan to have and claim the promise of God. God says, Moses, you can look over there, but you'll never go over there. By the way, it's interesting to know what it meant to look in the land. A part of the process the Jews had in establishing deeds and ownership, you would have to look at the land. Therefore, the parable of Jesus, you remember talking about going to the banquet. One guy says, I can't go because I bought property, and I've misspoken on that many times. I said, well, what a silly excuse. He'd already bought the property. Now he says he's got to go and see it. But the truth is, a part of claiming property, you could buy it, but you had to see it, and you did not own it legally and morally until you had seen it. So when God said to Moses, you can look over there all that you see, said, climb Mount Nebo. And boy, he climbed up that mountain, and perhaps he went to Pisgah, the highest peak, and what could he see there? Oh, he could see the Dead Sea. It was right there. Jericho, it was right there. He could perhaps on a clear day see the Mediterranean. Perhaps he could even see the temple. He could maybe see the Sea of Galilee, Lake Huli. He could certainly see Mount Hermon. What of you? And what God was saying, Moses, this is the land. You're claiming it. You can see it. But he said, P.S., Moses, you'll never enter that land. Climb Mount Nebo and die. Whew. Man, that's his life purpose. Man, that's what he was all about. He got on Nebo and you can't go in, Moses. You can't go in. Ladies and gentlemen, Mount Nebos are a universal experience for all of us. It starts early in life. We have a dream, a desire, an expectation, and it simply doesn't work out. What happened? How did we lose that? How did we get in that mess? It starts in childhood, does it not? I remember my mother's sister told her that she would pay for me to have piano lessons. I said, well, man, I will be something at the piano. We couldn't afford it, but her sister said, and so she sent me to a teacher by the name of Mrs. Rogers. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's a meaner teacher who ever walked this earth, I mean, literally, you would get on the keyboard, she had a sharpened pencil, and if one finger didn't work, and I had plenty of those, bam! Oh, yeah, oh, absolutely. She was tough as steel. And so then I had to practice. We didn't have a piano. So my mother got permission. We walk up my little alley and down another alley and go into an area where a lady had a kindergarten in her backyard. And they let me go in there when late in the afternoons. And I would go in that piano and I would practice hearing all my guys playing out there. Oh, it was a terrible thing. And before long, I realized that I wasn't made to be a pianist. And then the worst thing of all, you just, these childhood experiences, you could share with it. On Saturdays, about every a month or so, we would go and play for all the other students and the parents what we had practiced and learned in the preceding 3 weeks. And I would get up there, 7 years old or so, and some little girl would get up ahead of me. I mean, it was, and I would get up there and miss a note, and man, it was terrible, humiliating, embarrassing, disgraceful. I was on Mount Nebo, and I'm telling you, I didn't deserve to have any of the promises I thought would be there. We have those things, don't we? And I could just rattle them off. I remember the first girl I ever kissed. Her name was Judy White, and it was love at first sight. I was 15. A slow developer. And it was wonderful. This is the girl I'll marry. She has everything. And Oh, it was so great for a few months there. And I remember the day she said, you know, I don't like you anymore. I like Carrie Hohenstein. And I said, all right. And I didn't debate. I didn't make a scene. I just turned and walked out of her house. She went back inside. And I remember to this day the steps, her little porch steps going down. And there's about one more step in these steps. And I stood there and I said, I'm going to jump down. And when I hit the ground, there's no more Judy in my life. And I got up and I jumped and bam, didn't get hurt, hit the ground and walked off. And, you know, I just jumped off Nemo. I didn't, you know, that was not the one for me. I didn't date for over 2 years, 2.5 years. Didn't care. I just wiped that girl right out of my hair. Anyway. But we, you know, we have disappointments. That those first love, right? I mean, it's nobody else is ever going to be like this first love. And then, and just go up a little longer. I go through my whole life and point out a lot of Nemos when the dream didn't meet the reality. I was a senior in high school. We had an average basketball team. We were playing in the state championship, the Big Eight tournament. We led the defending state champions the whole game. The whole game. We got to the end. And they went 1 point ahead with about 5 or 6 seconds. And somehow I got the ball in the corner. And so I did my little jab step and I drove the baseline and there's the basket. And you have a choice. You can either go through and hook back or stop and jump back and make a little semi layup. And boy, I'd stop and jump back. And boy, the ball was spinning on the rim. If it goes in, we win and it spins out. Man, my team, my coach, the school, everybody. Ooh, Mount Nemo. I mean, I didn't get to do it up there. Mount Nemo. We've had those experiences. A dream, an idea. I'd worked so hard at basketball. I had practiced. I had dribbled. I had everything but athleticism. You might need that in sports. And so this is what happens to all of us, can tell these stories. Unfulfilled dreams, ideas, expectations, where we thought we'd be in our vocation, where we thought we'd be in our marriage. And so many marriages today end in suicide. If you notice that, the marriage is a suicide when there's a divorce. And it happens because we make bad choices. I know that personally in my close family. And so my bottom line is, what we thought, what we envisioned. Boy, by now in my profession, I should be here, or over there, I should have that, or I thought this would fulfill my dreams. And we have all these expectations that may be fine and noble and beautiful, but somehow it doesn't all work out. Or sometimes we reach those pinnacles we've been climbing a long time. When we get up there, it doesn't give us that wonderful feeling that, boy, I've really arrived. We seem never to arrive in this life. Have you noticed that? We get on Mount Nebo, and the dream and the reality are different. Moses, of all people, that was his whole life, the 40 man. God had prepared him to take those people out of slavery. But in the process, you know what he discovered, ladies and gentlemen? It's easy to take people out of slavery than to get slavery out of people. You get that slave mentality. Someone who's been in prison, and all of a sudden there's the activity of prison, and someone can get out of prison, but still there is that weight, that habit. I can take any man here, and we could go to a happy hour in a bar for 3 months. 3 months. Maybe we drink, maybe we don't drink. Just be in the atmosphere. And then we come out after 3 months. You'll be amazed how our thinking, how our reaction, and what will be going on in your life and in my life. You see, you can take somebody out of slavery, but it's hard to get the slavery out of that person. And here these Jews had been taken out of slavery in Egypt, but now they were acting like slaves. But Moses was prepared not only to lead them into freedom, but to take them in the promised land. What preparation? He was a man of prayer. I want you to see how he prayed. Man, if you have your Bibles, you can open them there with me. It's just a beautiful, beautiful passage of prayer that he says. In Exodus chapter number 33, then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself had not let me know whom you will send with me. This is Moses praying. Moreover, he said, I have known you by name and have also found favor in your sight. Here's his prayer. Now, therefore, Moses praying, I pray you, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways. He's saying, if you know what you want me to do, I'll obey you. And then he says, and then I know you. We obey the Lord, then we know him, and then he knows us. And then I might find favor in your sight. He's praying. He said, Lord, I want to obey you. Just tell me what I have to do, what I have to stop doing. And Lord, then I know when I obey you, I know you. And then I know I'll be on your team. I'll find favor in your sight. You'll give me your uniform, and man, I'll put it together. You see, this was God preparing Moses a long, long time before he gets there into the wilderness with all these people, a million people he's trying to lead in the promised land. And then also we know Moses was called a servant leader. It's one of the first times. You are a servant of the Lord. This first time, I think in the Bible, this phrase was used. What does it mean to be a servant of the Lord? I want you to look on your screen. His will, not our rights. His pleasure, not our position. His glory, not our success. Some people say, well, up there at the second family, y'all have done this, y'all have do that, y'all running that thing like a corporation. Nonsense. This is the way we seek to operate. His will, not our rights. His pleasure, not our position. His glory, and not what we desire. You see, that's how the body of Christ works, ladies and gentlemen. Any other body. So this is what Moses had, prayer.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Psalm 33, 14 and 15. From the place of his dwelling, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. When I had heart surgery a few years ago, my heart was actually stopped for a period of time. At the conclusion of the operation, the surgeon reached inside my chest, squeezed my heart, and began to beat on its own. This is the picture behind the word translated. Fashions in one verse. God squeezes our spiritual hearts into a rhythm that is in accordance with his design and purpose for our lives. Now, squeezing is often uncomfortable, but there is no life without it. We cannot make our spiritual hearts beat through our religious efforts, good deeds, or even moral behavior. We must leave it up to God. So ask him to continue fashioning your heart. In other words, to keep on squeezing you into his unique design and purpose for your existence.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. And we'd love to help you stay grounded in that truth all year long with the one-year chronological Bible. There's no better way to prepare for what God wants to do in and through you this year than to spend time each day in His Word. The one-year chronological Bible will help you do just that as you grow deeper in your understanding of God's Word through 365 daily Bible readings that guide you through Scripture in chronological order. So call now to request the one-year chronological Bible as our thanks for your gift to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for being with us today on The Winning Walk. Join us tomorrow as Dr. Young concludes his message with encouragement that God is in control even when your expectations aren't met.
will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee when you rise up. The nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. For you are the giver of law, and you sit enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings, it is he who will save and victory bring. Oh! When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. When you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. At the thunder of your voice, thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. At the thunder, thunder of your voice, thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. For you are the giver of law, and you sit enthroned above all. For the Lord is the King of kings, it is he who will save and victory bring. Oh. If you rise up, the nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. The nations will scatter, the nations will scatter, the nations will flee. At the thunder, thunder of your voice, thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. At the thunder, thunder of your voice, thunder of your voice, the nations will flee. Nations will scatter, the nations will flee.